Do you want to just introduce yourself?
Okay, my full Polish name sounds Grzegorz Rutkowski, but it's quite hard to pronounce, so that's why I'm using Greg.
Greg Rogowski lives in a small Polish town called Pińsk, near the German border. And for the last 15 years, he's made his living as an artist.
I'm a freelance illustrator, concept artist, doing mostly fantasy and fantasy illustration. So
illustrations for games like Dungeons & Dragons and Magic the Gathering. On our video call, I could see some of his works hanging behind him in his studio.
You probably can't take one of them off the wall and show me, could you?
I can take off one.
Yeah, do you mind? Nice. It's intense. There's like a big dragon in a dark sky. Is he blowing fire onto like a soldier riding a horse?
Yeah, exactly. So sort of like a knight or something like that.
Greg made this picture digitally, but it looks like he could have painted it. The fine details, the brush strokes, the dramatic lighting, all give it the look of an old master, if the old masters painted dragons. This merging of fantasy and classical painting, it's kind of Greg's thing. And lately, his style has taken off online. People have been sharing Greg Rutkowski dragons and castles and landscapes on social media. He's more popular than he's ever been. But there's a problem. All these Greg Rutkowski artworks people have been sharing, Greg didn't make them. Artificial intelligence did. People have been feeding Greg's name into AI art generators and creating works in his style. Lots of them.
How many of these Greg Rutkowski style images are out there on the internet right now?
The last time I checked, my name has been used like 300,000 times.
Wow.
Yeah. I was like really, really shocked.
Welcome to The Journal, our show about money, business, and power. I'm Ryan Knudsen. It's Tuesday, March 7th. Coming up on the show, what happens when AI comes for your art?
This episode is brought to you by Canva. When your work looks good, you look good. So create all the stunning presentations, docs, whiteboards, and videos you need with Canva. Start with one of the designer-made templates or jump ahead with the power of AI. It's a real time saver, and anybody can use it. Whatever department you work in, whatever you need, Canva will help you get it done and make it look fantastic. Start designing today at canva.com. Design for work. Tap the banner to learn more.
Over the past several months, a bunch of companies have released apps that let people use AI to create some pretty sophisticated art. Users can just type in a prompt, like a painting of a golden doodle hosting a podcast in the style of Pablo Picasso. And the AI will generate that image. You can check out my Twitter feed if you want to see some samples. Wall Street Journal tech columnist Christopher Mims has been writing about some of these AI tools. Is this art good?
That's such is art good? Okay, is this art good? Let me think about that for a moment. A lot of people really like this art, and it is technically very sophisticated. So I think in that sense, this art is good. It is usable.
Who are some of the companies that are making this stuff?
So OpenAI, which has been in the news a lot because of their tie-up with Microsoft and Bing, and they make ChatGPT. Before all of that, they made a thing called DALL-E, which is a AI art generator. There's also a company called Stability AI, which makes an engine called Stable Diffusion. And through yet another startup, which uses their engine called Midjourney, that art has become quite popular.
This new generation of AI is trained on hundreds of millions of images. Many of those images are scraped from the internet, which is how these AIs discovered Greg.
He, like many working artists, shares a lot of his art publicly in places where, you know, he maintains a portfolio like DeviantArt or ArtStation. And those sites, which have, you know, millions of images on them, were scraped by, you know, at least one of the companies that has been building these AI art generators.
Why were so many people mimicking this one guy's style?
I think that Greg's style is very distinctive, but also it is beloved in these very small communities, which happened to overlap with the communities of early adopters of these AI art generators. So he has painted, you know, creatures for the card game Magic the Gathering, and he's done art for video games and stuff. So that tiny community of just like hardcore early adopter young nerds just knew him. And so they knew to enter his name into these art generating AIs. And because text prompts, including his name, generated good images very quickly, he became weirdly famous as a text prompt, even among people who maybe had never seen his work before.
Using Greg's name in an AI prompt, it just made the images better. I saw that firsthand when Greg and I put one of these AI art generators to the test.
Okay, I'm gonna try to see if I can make this work. I'm gonna try to share my screen with you. What do you think the prompts should be?
Actually, I never used that, so I'm inexperienced. Player in that field.
Okay, so let's maybe say something like, okay, two dragons fighting in a rainforest in the style of Greg Rutkowski. All right, so let's hit generate image, and it's processing now. Looks like it's going to take about 6 seconds.
The AI spit out four images, four different takes on two dragons fighting in the rainforest in the style of Greg Rutkowski. One showed two red dragons circling each other under a thick rainforest canopy.
I'm not sure what's going on here, like with the with the dragons, like anatomy of the dragons are like, it's like really, really off.
Yeah, the bottom one looks like it has two tails.
Yeah. But I think it's a good base when it comes to the value and color palette. You can use that somehow, like, you know, this one is like the previous one was pretty cool.
I wouldn't consider myself an expert on art or dragon anatomy, but it doesn't take a genius to see that the AI got some pretty big things wrong.
This dragon's breathing fire out of its rear end, which is not...
Yeah.
Maybe after it ate some spicy food.
But the AI nailed the landscapes. They were lush and detailed.
It's crazy. Mm-hmm. It's crazy. I can't deny that the results, sometimes results are really, really cool. Like, I'm really surprised by the quality.
By the way, we tried this same prompt without Greg's name, just two dragons fighting in a rainforest. And the results weren't nearly as good. They were more photorealistic and less painterly. And there's at least one area where the AI definitely outperforms Greg. Speed.
Like, if I had to create those four sketches, four paintings, I would have to spend like at least a week to create those four images, because It's not like rough color sketch, it's more advanced, so I would have to spend at least like 2 days per image. So you can see the comparison, you know, between the human labor and, you know, artificial creation.
So when you realize the scale of what was happening, that these AI generators could now create art in your style and that people were using it to a significant degree, how did you feel?
I felt like really overwhelmed, and I'm still feeling really overwhelmed by all this, because the fact that someone can use your name, like steal your work in one case, it's one thing. But when it's happening on this really large scale, when your name is used like 300,000 times, it's like, you know, it's a threat basically. So you feel like anxious, like definitely anxious for most of the time. About your future.
One of Greg's biggest anxieties is that potential clients will be turned off by all these fake Greg Rutkowskis and won't find his original work. He says that when he Googles his name, AI images already show up in the results. In fact, that's how Greg discovered this was happening in the first place. When he Googled himself, a lot of the images that came up were made by these AIs. And Greg's not the only artist who's feeling anxious. Here's Christopher again.
So artists tend to have two concerns about this AI art. One is that there might be an immediate harm. So let's say you're a concept artist who does, you know, quick sketches that are then shown to other artists during the conceptual phase of creating like a comic book or a video game. Those folks can be 100% replaced today by this AI-generated art. It's good enough. Another concern is if their art has been used by these AIs to produce a product that makes some of the biggest companies in the world more millions or billions of dollars, well, how come the artists whose art is being used to train these AIs aren't being compensated?
And so some artists, including Greg, are fighting back and taking AI art to court. That's after the break.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Earlier this year, a group of artists filed a lawsuit against three companies. The first two, Midjourney and Stability AI, have released tools for making AI art. The third, DeviantArt, is primarily a forum where artists post their work, but it's also created its own system for generating AI art. Greg joined the lawsuit in January. What's the artist's argument?
Their argument is that this was essentially a theft of their intellectual property. They weren't asked if their art could be used to train this AI. And now this AI is specifically doing harm to them because it could replace them as working artists.
DeviantArt and Midjourney didn't respond to requests for comment. A spokesperson for Stability AI said that this argument misunderstands how copyright law and AI work. Have the artists said anything about what they want to see happen?
Part of what they're seeking is clarity. So they want the court to kind of just take a close look at this technology and begin to create new laws and legal precedents around it. And I think ultimately they're not seeking to shut down these art-generating AIs, but they want them to share the wealth that they generate with artists, and also to, in the future, seek their permission to use their art.
Christopher says that some have suggested creating a fund that would compensate artists anytime their art is used in AI generators. Another idea is that artists could tag their work if they wanted to opt out. Greg would go even further. He says he doesn't think companies should let people use any living artist's name as an AI prompt. Whether these artists win their lawsuit could hinge on a concept called fair use. Usually, it's illegal to use someone else's copyrighted material. But there are exceptions for fair use.
So fair use over the years has developed into this 4-point test. And the points that people talk about the most often are, did you transform the work that you are using sufficiently that it's not just a substitute for the original work? The other point that's really important in fair use is, what are the harms? So if you have lifted an image and done something with it, are you in any way taking away from the value of the original image or the income of the person who owned the rights to that image and previously was profiting from it or licensing it or whatever?
And so in this case, it would seem like those things may apply because these are artists that could say, hey, you're going to use this AI-generated art and you're not going to hire me for it.
That's exactly right. But it's not clear, given the legal precedent, who's right here. And that's kind of what makes it such an interesting legal case, because these AIs, ingest art and transform it in a way that's totally unprecedented. So if you talk to the companies, they're like, hey, this is just like a human artist. Human artists look at other people's art and they learn from it and then they produce their own, right? Whereas the artists tend to argue, no, like arguably these AIs are more like a search engine. They just have this huge database of all of this art and it's just kind of remixing them in a way. It's not clear though which one of those it's more like.
What do you think this is going to mean for the art world?
One concern for the art world is that especially artists who are just starting out are going to be deprived of income because the kind of art that they would do, like concept art, for example, just can be replaced one for one with this AI-generated art. So instead of a concept artist, you might have a so-called prompt engineer. He's just a person who is really good at knowing what words to plug into one of these engines to generate a particular piece of art. Others have argued that, as with other forms of automation in other industries, artists may start to use these AI systems to help them generate art, generate ideas, you know, fill in details that would otherwise, you know, require a great deal of time and tedium.
To me, it feels more revolutionary, but maybe that's just because I'm like not always swimming in the world of technology, but it feels like we're going to look back at this moment and think like this was the time when everything changed.
I think you're right. I think this is a moment of revolutionary change, in part because we are just going to start seeing so much AI-generated content everywhere, and we may not even know that it's there. So this could revolutionize the world of targeted advertising. It could lead to new forms of personalized content. It will definitely start showing up in the video games that we play, in the music we listen to, maybe even in the podcasts that we hear. And so I think that it really is this kind of Rubicon that we're crossing, where before you had to have a human to generate any particular piece of content. But in the future, lots of that content could be generated by AI.
That's all for today, Tuesday, March 7th. The Journal is a co-production of Gimlet and The Wall Street Journal. If you like our show, follow us on Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. We're out every weekday afternoon. Thanks for listening. See you tomorrow.